Good morning.
Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's great to see everyone. If you're visiting with us this morning, welcome to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. We're very happy that you've joined us this morning. We're just a group of men and women who love God. And we come from all different parts of Gwinnett. And it's awesome to always be together on a Sunday morning to worship God together. The last few weeks I've been talking about God's grace. And God indeed has been very gracious to us. To realize that every day He pours out His blessings upon us. You are awake this morning because of the grace of God. Every blessing that you and I have received or will ever receive is as a result of God's grace and mercy upon our lives. We've been saved by grace, and every day in every situation, God continues to pour His grace upon us. And that's a good thing, like Steve Collier would say. I don't know if you guys realize he says that a lot. That's a good thing. That's one of his favorite phrases. I almost know when he's going to say it. That's a good thing. But grace can be defined as that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. It's God's favor upon us. It is of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting His holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith. Amen? Amen? And that's what you and I enjoy every single day. And I think what happens a lot of times is, you know, God, you know, day in and day out, He blesses us. He pours out His grace upon us. And so many times we forget and we start taking things for granted. You know, as Steve was teaching this morning, and he put up on the screen the two guys running for president. As I was sitting in the back and I thought, you know, what an amazing thing. That every 4 years in this country, people get to vote. And that vote actually means something. And when a guy loses, he would actually pack his stuff and move out of the White House. I think as Americans, we take that for granted. There are many places on this earth, even till this day, when elections go on and the guy refuses to leave. I'm serious. The guy's like, I'm not going anywhere. And all of a sudden, people start fighting. Okay, I'll bring him in as, you know, a vice prime minister or something. These guys refuse, some of them refuse to leave. And I bring that up as an example of something that God has poured upon this country that we can't take for granted. I can give you names of presidents that have been there for 30 years. They're all, yeah, they have elections, but the guy always wins. Again, that's by God's grace. I remember in 1989 when we got to Nairobi, Kenya, and I believe shortly after that the American elections were going on, and we were talking to this guy that we're reaching out to, a Kenyan guy, talking about, yeah, we're having elections and, you know, we're going to decide who's going to get in there. The guy was actually baffled. Now, you know what? If the guy loses, he actually leaves, you know, the presidential, whatever. He couldn't believe it. He goes, that doesn't happen around here. This guy's been here for so long, and we don't know when he's going to go. Eventually, he left. I'm not sure how many years he spent in there. But again, I use that as an example to say, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen? Thursday night, I talked about spreading God's grace in Gwinnett and in Covington. Amen? Again, I've stopped trying to figure out how God works As Steve is preaching this morning, again, he mentions what I'm going to be talking about today. Again, we didn't exchange notes. I didn't write this up in the back, I promise you. This was done yesterday. And the passage comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I've titled the message this morning, Grace is Sufficient. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Paul writes, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Second Corinthians, really, from around chapter 10, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth and he's basically defending his apostleship. These guys were questioning his authority in the church. Like, you're not really one of the quote-unquote super-duper apostles. And he's basically defending his ministry. And that's what you read in chapter 10, chapter 11, and it goes on in chapter 12. And he's making an argument. He said, you know what? Hey, I know this guy that was caught up to the third heaven, that is paradise. He's talking about himself. How do we know that? Because in verse 7, it says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. So we know he's talking about himself. Are you with me? But it goes on to say that he saw things that man is not permitted to express. Scripture teaches that if we're Christians, we're children of God, when we die, when we leave this place, we go on to this place called paradise. Amen? I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to it. I would leave this afternoon if I could. I'm dead serious. Will I miss you guys? Yes. Will I miss my family? Yes. But paradise is a very nice place, a very cool place. I can't wait to get there. I hope you are. That's the way you feel also. But you see, when we leave this place and we're Christians, we go to paradise. If we're not, we go to a place called Hades. It's a place of torment, according to the scriptures. I don't know about you. Paradise, Hades. It's not a difficult choice to make. Anybody in their right mind would not want to go to a place of torment. And that's why we need to choose Christ. We need to choose Jesus. Amen? Amen. Not just by mouth, but by how we live on a daily basis. But Paul goes on to say, you know what? To keep him from becoming conceited, because of all this stuff that God is revealing to him, he said, There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. But what was God's reply? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, again, we're humans. When you are in pain, you want relief. When I get a headache, I go for the ibuprofen very quickly. My wife will look at me and say, just drink some water and try and be like, I want some instant relief. I want this pain to go away. I know some people who get migraine headaches. When they go through that stuff, they want the pain removed. They want some relief. It's natural. That's the way we're built. Are you with me? Now, unfortunately, some of us, we try and remove the pain with alcohol, with drugs, medication. But God says, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. That regardless of what we're going through, God's grace is sufficient. That word in the Greek is pronounced archeho. A-R-K-E-H-O. Archeho. It means to be possessed of unfailing strength. To be strong. To be satisfied. To be contented. What is God saying here? In other words, you know what? As Christians, we got the Holy Spirit inside of us. He's saying, you got me in you already. That should be enough. That I'm right there with you. I don't have to remove the pain. If anything, we're going to look at later on, we experience things in our lives because God is trying to draw us closer to Him. God is trying to mold our characters into becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen? God is enough, is in us, and that should be enough. He knows what we're going through. As a matter of fact, this passage talks about, you know, he said a messenger of Satan was given to him to torment him. You say, wow. Brothers and sisters, compared to the Apostle Paul, our lives is pretty good. Compared to some of the things that Paul went through, look in chapter 11. Let's just look through some of them very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning verse 23. He says, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder. Watch this. Been in prison more frequently. Been flogged more severely. And been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. You do the math. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Verse 27, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak that I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? But if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows what I am, that I am not lying. And then it goes on. You know, when I read verses like this, it causes me to be very grateful. It causes me to basically shut up and stop complaining. Amen? I mean, what Paul went through as he preached the gospel, as he took this message out to other people. I don't know of anybody in this room, including myself, that has come to anything even close to this. I haven't been flogged yet for the gospel of Christ. Nobody has locked me up. Yeah, people have threatened to arrest me, but nobody's locked me up yet. Amen? I haven't been beaten with rods. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I ain't that good a Christian. Somebody's out there wanting to beat me with rods. The Bible says you need to turn the other cheek. I'll be honest with you, I'm not there yet. I will defend myself. Here you are, you want to beat me with a rod? I'm going to grab a chair. Hey, before you touch me, I'm going to hit you. If you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. Hey, I'm just being honest with you. But this guy went through all this stuff. And I'm saying, yes, life is tough. There are challenges. But we got to put it in perspective. Compared to what our brothers and sisters went through in the first century, as they claimed to be children of God, as they claimed to be disciples of Jesus, compared to what you and I face today. Amen? You know, some of us, we've lost our jobs in, quote-unquote, this economic recovery or whatever it is you want to call it. And even as Gary reminded us this morning as we were taking up the contribution, in America, there's something called unemployment. It's an amazing concept. That you get out of work and you can actually go to the Department of Labor and you get a check coming in for I don't know how many months or how many weeks. That's an amazing thing. That this country even has that. Most of the places in this world, you lose your job, you are on your own. Unemployed. What? There is no such thing. You don't have to go and, you know, beg relatives or family members or friends for money because there's no such thing. We say, oh, well, we got Social Security. I pay into it so that, you know, one day they're going to pay me my money back. That's good. But most of the world doesn't. Amen? So why am I bringing all this stuff up? I'm saying, you know, we need to stop complaining. We have it good. We have it great in this country. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to minimize what you're going through. But when I compare what you and I are going through to what most of the world, people created in God's image, just like you, what they're going through, there's no comparison. And that's why no matter what it is we're going through or we're experiencing, our attitude should be like, well, you know what? God's grace is sufficient. I'm not going to complain. God's grace is sufficient. You see, the cool thing is, God displays his power through our situations and our sufferings. If God were to remove suffering from our lives, I don't think that's going to be good for us spiritually. I mean, think about it. Where everything is just smooth, you know. I mean, can you imagine a country where everybody's got a job who wants a job and they have the job that they want? There's no such thing as unemployment. You know, everybody's quote-unquote retirement is taken care of. Nobody gets sick. You know, the doctors and nurses have nothing to do because nobody gets sick. That's the ideal. It's called heaven. And it's not on this side. Amen? That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're going to experience when we leave this place. That's a cool thing. Amen? But in the meantime, everything you and I go through is there for a reason. Look in Hebrews chapter 2. This is talking about Jesus. I mean, think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came into this world and he didn't have it easy. He had some rough times. But why did God do that? In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 10, Look at the Bible. Listen to what it says here. It says, in bringing many sons to glory, that's talking about you and I, it was fitting that God, for whom and through him, through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Amen? We're told right here that Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Everything that you and I are going through in life, everything that Paul went through, God is treating us like Jesus. Trying to get us to be perfect. But the way he does it is through suffering. He said, Lord, find some other way. Well, guess what? There is no other way. Amen? There is no other way. Jesus was made perfect through suffering. I mean, think about some of the stuff that Jesus had to go through. He was falsely accused. Throughout his ministry, he was insulted. He was spat upon. He was beaten and obviously crucified. He was betrayed by friends. He had his authority questioned. He was called names. People said he was demon-possessed. And if you notice, when you read the Gospels, people were always wanting something from him. 99.9% of the time, people were always wanting something from him. Do you feel like that sometimes? That all you do is one way where you're just constantly giving of yourself. Jesus felt the same way. What kept Jesus going? What kept Paul going? It was the grace of God. It was God strengthening him through the Holy Spirit. Look in Luke 22. The same is going to be for us. Amen? That's where there are times when you're going through something in your life. I'm telling you, no human can help you. You need to go be with your God. If that takes you hours or days, then so be it. In Luke chapter 22, we read about, you know, Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in verse 39, it says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Verse 43. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. You see, when you and I feel anguish, when you and I feel overwhelmed, it should draw us closer to God. Amen? 3 times, Jesus had to go back and just kept on praying. Until he submitted his will to the Father. And then he was ready to go face the cross. Are you with me? And so he said, well, you know, I've been going through this, or I got this situation, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying. I've been crying out to God, and doesn't God understand? And he's not listening to me, he's not bringing me any relief. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Amen? That yes, there are times when we're going to be praying about stuff and God is going to say, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. Because there's a reason for you going through that stuff. There's a reason for me going through that stuff. I may not understand it. I may not like it. But hopefully, that whole situation is going to draw me closer to God. It's going to call me to cry out to God. And to continue to cry out. What you cannot do is stop praying and get bitter and get down on yourself. You know, have you noticed how when you're that way, when, you know, you're down, you're overwhelmed, that's when Satan shows up. I said, look at you. Where has your Christianity gotten you? Look at this guy over here. He doesn't believe in God. He's lying and cheating, doing all kinds of stuff. Look at the life he's living. You're wasting your time. Be like him. That's when you tell the devil, get lost. Because no matter what it is that you're going through, God knows, first of all, that you're going through it. And like the passage says, his grace is sufficient for us. That power is inside of us. It's around us to help us, to strengthen you and me. That we're not alone. Right. Amen? Amen? You are not alone. God has been close to you and continues to be close to you, especially in that situation. And so you can't feel like, man, I'm going through this by myself. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. We're still talking about Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one, watch this, who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Oh, I love this passage. I remember many years ago, I was preaching from it. I was so excited. I said, we need to approach the throne of grace with confidence. I didn't even realize what I'd said. And the sister looked at me and said, I was like, what is it? And afterwards, she said, you said the groan of grace. I said, no, I didn't. But I did. He says, you and I, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen? That's exciting. You see, Jesus understands and sympathizes with us. He understands our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way, just like we were, but yet was without sin. And it is because of that, you and I, obviously, the Bible teaches that he's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. They're not just sitting up there playing video games, I promise you. Okay? He's interceding on our behalf. And when somebody intercedes for you, they talk in your favor. When you and I are praying about stuff, when you and I are going through stuff, and we're calling out to God to help us, Jesus is right there. He's got the Father's ear saying, you know what? It's time to help him out. It's time to help her out. That's what he's busy doing. That's what the Holy Spirit is also doing for us. Are you with me? When we approach the throne of grace with confidence, he says we're going to find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. And so, what am I saying? No matter what it is, no matter what you're going through, let it drive you closer to God. Let me repeat that. Challenge you're facing, let it drive you closer to the throne of grace. Okay? All right? Amen? Because what will you find there? Grace to help you during your time of need. That's why God's grace is sufficient for us. Amen? You remember what Jesus said in John 16, verse 33? He says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen? This world is not a rose garden. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't designed to be. Jesus never promised everything was going to be easy. If anything, he guarantees the opposite. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like trouble either. I just like to be left alone with everything just going smoothly, you know, no headaches, you know, no problems. Amen?
And the amazing thing is, as Christians, as we get older, not only spiritually, but physically, we're going to start going through stuff. Many of us are facing health challenges. I got friends that are dying of cancer as we speak. My age. And I look at myself, you know what? Praise God. If my only problem is high cholesterol, praise God. And I'm on medication to keep it balanced. Every day. If that's all I got to go through, then thank God. Why? Because a lot of people have it a whole lot worse. And so the point is, I got nothing to complain about. I really don't. You really don't either. God has been so good to us. God continues to pour his blessings out upon us. Now, look in Hebrews 12, and this is where we're going to conclude. You know the passage? Well, we got to read again, because it applies to what we're talking about. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 7. Actually, let's back up to verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and are not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. This is a hard scripture. It's just hard. The Bible says that you and I need to endure hardship as discipline. If anything, when we're going through stuff, it says God is allowing you and I to go through that because he loves you. You say, I don't understand that kind of love. Yes, you do. I do too. How do we know? Because those of us that are parents, we discipline our kids for their own good. Now, if you ask those kids, they're going to say, Some of these kids are so smart, they do something. They go, okay, come on, I'm ready, daddy. I'm ready. I'm ready for my punishment. They come because they know you love them. They've done something wrong, and there's a consequence to that. Some of them are begging, please don't do nothing. So, oh yeah, I'm going to discipline you. We discipline them for their good. Amen. Now, please, as a parent, you never discipline a child in anger. You just never do it. If you need an hour to go cool off, then you'll cool off. All right? But we got to discipline our kids. We discipline our kids. Now, in the world today, they tell us, no, don't touch them, don't do anything. Who am I going to listen to, them or the Bible? Because God disciplines us for our good. Amen? And so when you and I are going through stuff, God
He's training us. He's molding us. So that our characters can become like Jesus. Is it pleasant? No. It's hard. It's hard when you're living from paycheck to paycheck. You know, and you're balancing the checkbook and you're like, oh, man, I thought I had $40 in here. Man, where did the $40 go? I don't get paid for another 3 days. The gas tank is empty. God sees that. God notices. Because you're thinking, how come God would not give me a better job where I can pay my bills? Keep crying out to Him. That is not the time to get discouraged. That is not the time to start doing lousy spiritually. That is not the time to stop praying. That is the time to draw closer to God. Amen? I may have shared this months ago, but I will again. When Jesse Tolliver, Mike Tolliver's mom, when she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, the doctors actually gave her about 3 months to live. And obviously she started praying. A lot of people started praying and, you know, God gave her 2 years before he eventually took her. Wonderful woman. And she's having a conversation with one of the disciples in the church in San Antonio. And, she's going through chemo and all that. And, you know, she's not getting any better. As a matter of fact, the doctors are baffled that, you know, she's still walking and about and all that stuff. And she will use the opportunity to talk to them about the God that she serves. That is that God that's keeping me alive. But anyway, one sister was talking to her one time and said, how are you doing spiritually? Are you struggling? And she looked at the sister and said, you know what? It would be foolish to start struggling now spiritually. Said, here I've lived all my life as a Christian, following God. It would be lousy to start doing lousy spiritually now. And she goes, I'm in a very, very good place. Am I enjoying the pain and everything I'm going through? No. But I'm closer to God now more than ever. Now that I'm getting ready to go face Him. When I heard that, man, this is very face building. You know, that's what I hear of Damien. As he's going through his cancer treatment right now. He's 48 years old. He was just here a few months ago. You go in there, you're trying to encourage him with scripture, he listens, and then he preaches a sermon to you and tries to encourage you. He's the one talking to all the nurses and the doctors in the hospital. You walk in, you can't even tell him that he's the one that's sick. Because he understands that God's grace is sufficient for him. Amen? Amen? And so, when we go through stuff, it can either cause us to be down, or it can cause us to draw closer to God. And all I'm saying to us, for all the scriptures we've looked at this morning, God is saying, hang in there. Hang in there. My grace is sufficient for you. I've not forgotten you. I'm right here. You got to hang in there. Now look in Lamentations. Lamentations is right after Jeremiah. Believe me, the prophet is lamenting his situation. And he's going through a lot of stuff. He says, I am the man, Lamentations chapter 3, beginning verse 1. I'm almost done. I know I said Hebrews 11 will be the last scripture. But I had this written down, so I got to read it. He says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Listen to him now. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my path crooked. And it just goes on. He's pouring his heart out. Okay?
So God is not saying we shouldn't be pouring our hearts out. There are times when I'm sitting there and I'm just being quote unquote real with God. I said, come on, Lord, I don't understand this one. And I'm just being very honest with him. Now, please don't insult God as you're being open. You know, lightning may strike you. All right? But God doesn't get his feelings hurt when you and I are open. That's what the prophet is doing here. But the part I want us to look at starts in verse 21. Despite all this stuff that he's feeling, he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, because of his grace, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. You recognize the words? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That's where that song is from. Okay? They stole the words from the Bible. Like a lot of songs. Alright? That's okay. We're allowed to do that. Verse 25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That no matter what it is you and I are going through, no matter how bad it gets, the prophet writes, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Because of his grace, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Amen. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him. God's grace is sufficient. God bless.
It is to be announced that there will not be choir practice after services today, so you can stay here in fellowship. Let us pray. Oh, God Almighty, gracious and merciful you are. Thank you, Father, for all that you've given us. Thank you for this time that we can worship together, learn from your word, and just realize how sufficient your grace is. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who suffered for us. Let us fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we might always be true to you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.